welcome to another episode of Three Wise DMs, the podcast where three dungeon masters who've been doing this for way too long talk about all the things we do to try to make our games as good as they can be.
Hi, I'm Tony.
I'm Chris.
You always say you like my style. You say I'm tough and kind of wild. Am I too much for you to take? I swear this time it's not a game, except it is, it's D&D. And known a lot of girls. Yeah. Anyone?
I have no idea.
That was then, that was then, this is now. No? Oh my god, this is the first time ever, guys. Another episode of Three Wise DMs. Welcome back, everyone. The Rock and Roll DM here, DM Dave. That is, I believe, the first showing ever, I think, of the Monkees. Three Wise DMs. Yeah, dude. That was then. Wow. This is now, dude. That was so, remember, like, Nick at Night started throwing a ton of reruns on of the Monkees in, like, late 80s. And then they followed it up with the Reformation and the reunion tour of the Monkees when they were, like, a little older then. And that was, like, the first big single. That was then. This is now. Great, great, great tune. Like, I actually went back and listened to it today. So, anyway, our deep dives into pop culture. Get that at Three Wise DMs. You don't just get D&D crap. You also get weird pop culture references.
But trivia.
Yes, trivia, yes. So, when next time you're at bar trivia, give us a holler, you know. Gotcha. Give us a shout out. So, you always say that you like my style. So, I was recently listening to another Wise DM, DM Matt Colville of MCDM Productions and Draw Steel fame and running the game series and all the great things. And he got my brain thinking, and I shot it out to the guys. He brought up the idea about what is your DM style? And then he kind of added to that, like, is there even a DM style that you have, or is it very much dependent on the game you're running and the people you're running with? So we're kind of doing the coin, the heads and tails of episode 7 when we went over, that's 115 episodes ago or something like that, when we talked about the 8 different player types, you know, the actor, the explorer, the instigator, all that, and how do you DM them? So we're kind of taking on Colville's idea and trying to see, is there a way to find out what type of DM you are? So what do we think?
Well, one of the things I liked about the video was you threw out the possibility that your style changes with your group. And I think that's very interesting because you kind of like make a gamble, at least in the first couple of sessions, where you're going to put out things that you're hoping that your players latch onto, that excites the characters they've made, interests them, it works and gels well with them versus the world. But then at some point, your style adapts. Like when I started doing Ravenloft / Into the Witchlight with my little hybrid campaign.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, I kind of threw it out there. I was playing in the beginning very, you know, by the letter of the law. And then it started to take off much better, where I kind of treated it like you are a liberal arts major. I got new players. Nobody really knows what they want to do. So let's put out a bunch of stuff. And then you find something that they really love. And then you can lean into it.
No, I think I agree. I think obviously your style evolves over time in between sessions, depending on the people at the table. But I think the problem with a lot, like with the list, even the one thing that makes the player type list have some level of value is that there's a prescriptive element to it. It's like this is ways to help you deal with players like this at the table, ways to help them enjoy the game more. And for DM styles, it's if it lenses into a way that it captures a way that these are ways to help to make the DM enjoy the game, I think it's good. But, you know, like a lot of things, I think we're all a little bit of each of those things, right? You know, maybe I'm a lot the actor, but I'm also the fighter and the, you know, some of the other things too. So it's a, you know, and Tony's the optimizer, but he's also other things too. But he is
I'm the equalizer.
He's the optimizer and the equalizer, yes.
I think if we're going on the player types, I think Tony is much more a mixture of the thinker, the slayer, the power gamer, and maybe the explorer, I think. I don't know. I think anyway,
tactician.
There's a good so just to review, such because flattery. we're probably going to get into this a little bit tonight too, but just to refresh everybody, so we kind of went back in episode 7 about the player types, and there's been different lists that are, from like the 70s and 80s they started coming out with these kind of lists. But the actor, the explorer, the instigator, the power gamer, the slayer, the storyteller, the thinker, and the watcher or the audience member, that type of thing. And I thought that one of the things I liked that Colville Matt had said in the video was, it's nothing, you're not one. You know, you're not just the thinker, and that's all I am. You're always, I'm 30% this, I'm 20% this, I'm 15% this. And I think in a very similar way, like what Tony, you were just saying, and Chris, you backed it up, about DM styles, it's always a mixture of, I'm a little of this, I'm a little of that, and that's going to change. Tony, like you said, with the girls game, when you started doing Ravenloft and Into the Witchlight, I'm sure there are still things about your quote unquote style that remain because they're just imminently you, but they adjust because the table is adjusting, right?
Which is kind of like a point that Matt made, which I really liked, where he said, when you sit down and you make these assumptions about the players and what they're going to enjoy, and that changes, and when you strip everything away, it's really the style that remains. Yeah, if you had caught me playing my last second edition game to Storm King's Thunder to Ragnarok to now and this game with the girls, I really, with my DM style, it's more like an evolutionary because I've changed in every single one. I ran a completely different bit to suit the table. However, what Chris was saying with the player styles too, really, like, that's a very interesting challenge for us as like almost like where we're directors. And we're asked to take parts in movies, and then we have to let another director move us around, and we can really focus on all of our internal character machinations versus the entire world.
No, for sure. And it's like just the player types themselves, to your point, you're just a portion of that. And it, with DMs, it's a little bit, we're a different animal, is that there are players that are active players. I'm looking to get better at D&D, but as a DM, we're constantly self-evaluating, right? It's difficult to have a style. Per se, you have these things that I lean on, like I love doing lore and stuff like that, but my style is constantly evolving because I'm constantly working at my craft, because that's the nature of DMing, which makes it a little different to kind of nail it down to a particular style. Maybe I have an overall style, but it's constantly changing because we ourselves, we're always looking for ways to improve the games in a different way than a player might be on a personal level with their character.
Yeah, I think, again, going back to the video, and guys, I'll link it in the show notes, obviously, but I think it's worthwhile because I think it's an interesting discussion, and it's one that I don't think we're actually, no one's really come out and done it in the same way that they did, like with the players, to kind of give this, like Chris, you said, almost like kind of a prescriptive type of, like, at least it gives you some idea, it's almost like a horoscope or something, but he was saying in the video about how, like, when he started to run one of the live plays they did, The Chain of Acheron, that people in the audience just, they thought they had ideas about his quote-unquote style. And he made the point, he was like, which really surprised me because that was just very much because of the type of game I was running. And the players at the table, the friends of his who liked certain things in a game. So it kind of ran a certain way. But one thing this past weekend that we were kind of talking about, this was precast stuff. But Tony, you had brought up this idea, and I wanted to explore it a little bit because, like, we have the player types. And Chris, you had said it's almost like you could almost take those and just turn them and say, like, that's also DM style things, which we'll get into. But Tony, you had brought up the idea because when you were in your MBA program, I believe, so everyone out there, just so you know, Tony DM Tony has an MBA.
And you know, 8 fingers and 2 thumbs.
Maybe we will do an episode one time discussing, or we'll do a live play of him having to do his like thesis project with his group
about how I graduated
and accredited college, you know? That crazy the store on Mars that they wanted to build or some shit. Anyway,
yeah, we'll do a role play.
I'm totally getting off point. But Tony, you had brought up something that really interested me. I thought it was a really neat way to look at it, because we talk a lot of time about the soft skills of DMing, and they're very close to managerial skills. And you had brought up the idea of, there's a lot of lists out there, but there's lists of like management types, like types of manager you are, in a similar way to players. So Tony, kind of break that out a little bit, and then kind of bring it into how we're talking about it, maybe with like DMing style, DM and DM styles.
Sure. So in case you're wondering, my management type is the stabilizer. So there's another Izer in there, but,
Equalizer.
Yeah, right. But now, more importantly, how this relates to the game is that a good DM, hopefully, is looking at this and saying, how can I make this more enjoyable? So what can I do to leverage this? Are we talking more lore, combat, rewards, role play? Maybe the players are there for the challenge. They want the school of hard knocks. They want the crushing defeats, because they're tired of those easy games where you just level up after 2 sessions. Or maybe they like mystery, or they have to really figure out some political intrigue, or maybe it's just the funny voices. What really draws and engages your player? And that's the $1 million question.
If your DM style boils down to only the funny voices, you need to like, I think it's part of it. I disagree with Colville. I don't think it's just gimmicky. I think it's part of it, but it can't be the whole thing, or else it is gimmicky. Yeah.
I got like 6 really solid voices.
No, for sure. And
I have Cajun dwarves. So
yeah, you know, it does. And it does have a bit of a management style to it. We have different ways we deal with the table, right? Some of us are like, Tony's more of a stabilizer. So if he's going to deal with conflict at the table by trying to create a stabilizing thing, some people are going to be more, I probably am that way until I get a little wonky. And then I get more authoritative, where I'm like, and this is the way that it is, and like, let's move on and stuff like that. And there's people more like Dave, who runs a very democratic table there, who runs a very like a it's a collaborative experience. Like I dwell in those places, but I find myself, there's times where I just feel like it's easier for me to be able to just I don't steal Tony's thing. I'm going to say move the football, but it's just in my head. So I have to say it. Like, I just want to move. Like, so I.
Results oriented.
Or something. Results, yeah, there's oriented. A point where it's like, that's important because there's other things I want to get to. But it's, I think those are the styles that you can lean to. But I think to Tony's point is that just like when you go to these classes for management styles and you have these things and they give you all these exams where they measure your emotional intelligence and all this other stuff, and they tell you all these things, it's really to. It's about serving your audience. If I'm in business, it's about better to manage my employees so they're more productive. If I'm at the table, it's that, to Tony's point, so that I'm making it more enjoyable, because that's why we're gaming, right? There's no, I mean, the challenge and all the other stuff, but in the end, they're there to have fun. Like, that's the whole point of the game. So if the better ways to be able to deliver that, while understanding that there are times that I'm going to get wonky, so I need to look out for that. It helps me to balance that, right? To times that I need to be more democratic or something. That's where I think it starts to become more prescriptive when it has meaningful things for it, like the player styles. Even though it's a list, it's also like, hey, if I know somebody's mostly the actor, I can work with that, right? I can tweak something for that. But if I just give him a name, I'm like, you're the actor. Right. There's not a whole lot to it. It's always better if there's something that helps me to get better or identify something that's like, oh, maybe I'm doing something a little bit differently. I need to be more balanced.
I think just so we know. So when Tony had first brought that up to me, I was like, ooh, that sounds kind of neat, because it's very like we've just been saying, it's very managerial. So I went on a little bit of a hunt on like, I was like, ooh, what are like. Are there lists of these things, just the way there's lists of players? And so I found one, and I sent it over to Tony, and he had said it's similar, but it was different, you know. So I'm sure there's a billion lists, but I kind of giggled a little bit, because I grabbed like 7 or 8 of them, from, it was Berklee College, had a business had listed them out. But, and as I'm looking at these, it's very much like, it literally just reads, it's not like DM types as much as, and we'll get into this with something that Chris brought up precast too, but it's less DM like types or styles and more like all of the different knobs and dials that you're kind of tuning in. Like Chris was just saying, like he might tune one up more or less. So we have the autocrat. I work for a couple of those. Laissez-faire, democratic, collaborative, inspirational, strategic, and results-oriented. And like all of those, I don't think there's a single DM that you could just say, oh, I'm that. But if you took all of them, that's going to give you that, like, that EQ of, this is more, if you sit down at the table, you're probably going to find a little more of this way, you know?
That's very interesting. Well, let me put myself in a box real fast. I would definitely say that I am collaborative.
Results-oriented.
But results-oriented. Absolutely. So I want everybody involved in the story. But, you know, doesn't it, like, really stink? Isn't it, like, one of the worst criticisms of a game, honestly, when you're reflecting about it afterwards and you're like, wow, like, we really didn't accomplish anything. Like, we just, like, ran around in circles. Like, that's not what you want. That is the last thing that you want floating around in people's heads. It was interesting. Also, Matt touched on where he said, you know, it was the players in reality, like historical, like level accuracy versus fantasy, in the sense that the players could actually influence the world, because that was really the fantasy, that you could go off and invoke this kind of change in where you are and just run with it.
For sure. No, and I think like a lot of what we were talking about, like the exercise for this all is to label with a purpose, like that it should, like when we do management things, done with a purpose. Like I may not like the label that I end up with, but that serves a better purpose than if I'm always judging my, I'm always aspirations. I am this one. Well, no, I'm actually this one. I want to be this one. So I want to work towards that. But I think that's the most important, especially as us, as DMs, as constantly evaluating, is that it's, if you're going in and you're trying to see if you have a style, use it as a way to help to find ways where you maybe are falling short or you could do better things. You know, we get that a lot through seeing other people work, but you can do that a lot through self-evaluation too.
Chris, I think that's good because it makes it, like what I just wrote down there as you were saying it, when you get like those, like the personality assessment or the managerial assessment, those types of things, like they're always fun because like you literally start reading and you're like, oh my God, this kind of is me.
Yeah. Like, and I might not have my bad stuff too.
Right. Right. Yeah. And it's picking up all of it. It's picking up the strengths and the weaknesses. So what that can allow you to do, like you said, with purpose. So lists like these are helpful because it helps you to lean into your strengths as a DM, but then also you can work on your weaknesses. And that's where I think that ever-evolving style comes from. As you see other people running games, you're sitting in at other tables, whatever, you might be watching games, YouTube, you know, these days especially. And that's constantly informing and you're starting to deepen. And like, I also wrote something down earlier where, because Chris, you and I both are musicians, long, long time musicians, I mean decades and decades, and there is a level, and yeah, and people talk about musical style, not just the genre of music, but the players themselves, in the sense that there is a musical signature that develops that you're just gonna lean more like, this is just where I have, this is my home now, I've kind of carved this space out, and if I play, you're going to know it's me playing in a way, right? Like you're going to know it's Jeff Beck playing, or you're going to know it's Clapton, regardless of the band they're in, almost, right? Singers, obviously, especially too. But there is a level of a, like a musical signature. So I think as opposed to like style, and this is just me, it's that signature. It's that little thing that's going to be, if I'm sitting at Dave's table, I can be assured that something is going to come out that's very me, and the same for Tony and for you and for anyone else, right?
I think that's fair. And what Chris said with the self-evaluation is kind of why I'm always changing and adapting my style over time. It's never too late to make adjustments. Like in my Ragnarok game, I came out very lore heavy. I kind of made a gamble.
Oh yeah.
And it's had a lot of material, right? Like I had a preposterous amount of material and too much of it was out there. And by the end, you know, we got to a point where we were able to close the circle, and that was fantastic. I liked the ending of that campaign.
Yeah, Tony, I mean, we literally watched you in, like, I was watching you in real time, like, turning these dials, you know, session to session, as you were tuning into, like, in essence, the frequency of the table, right?
Well, you know, you have to be self-aware enough to know, like, when everything is not wonderful. You listen to DMs and be like, oh, my God, that was an amazing campaign. Every note was perfect. And I'm like, really, for 42 games? Wow, that is amazing.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Seriously. Give me a fucking break.
Yeah.
I'm going to, if I have 42 minutes where everything is just fucking sauce, I'm like, yeah, that was, I'm a king.
You know? Right? Like, you didn't forget the bartender's name one time. No slip-ups, no. But table management has got a lot of aspects to it. You're talking about soft skills, like visual aids. Do you use them? Props. How well do you run combat? Story. The role play. And, you know, if you're looking at, you know, to really work on something, there's always player engagement. That is the big one.
Well, kind of similar to what you're talking about there, Tony, when I was watching the Matt video, we're just pumping him. So I hope he says something about Three Wise DMs on one of his.
Seriously, Colville, call us.
Seriously, because I mean, we're just pumping your video there. But it's he was talking a bit about sliders, like, because it's the one thing I always struggle with the list is that it's like, you know, it's the concept. I'm 60% this and I'm 15% that and 30% this kind of things. And I'm like, that's over 100% number one, but it's like number two, it's just math, not as my strongest subject, but it's that idea is that I thought of it instead of thinking about that, there are certain things about us that we can measure, like metrics, like we do with when we take the managerial sort of things. There's generally a series of sections you're working through that have a specific goal. Like, and I was thinking for DMs, what are those? He was talking about them as sliders, right? We have these different things that we sort of move, and there's sort of metrics. There's like the way we handle the rules, for example. Are we very raw? Or are we much more custom and house rules? Now, obviously, it's a sliding scale. You're never completely one side or the other, but a way to measure yourself. Your story focus was one of the things he talks about. He loves a world focus where he's focusing on the world. But there's also people who love a player focus where, like, I mean, Matt right now, I think, is very much on the player focus side. He loves to interact with them and help to make their backstories part of the world, giving that kind of a story most focus definitely. that informs the world. Your session style, you like combat versus role play. That's a big one. I mean, it's a lot of cases we're always searching for balance there, but in many cases, I'm kind of probably going to lean more towards combat. Other people may lean more towards role play. Your preparation style, are you more structured, right? Do I need to come with an outline and all my things or do I go more improvisational? I have I have a name there, or I have just a little blurb and I can run with that. And then finally, the conversational style, just for the funny voice element. But am I a narrator where I'm telling you about these things that happen? Or am I the actor where I'm going to assume these roles? I'm going to be the dwarven, the Cajun dwarf, right, that we encounter.
Cajun dwarves only on the world of Kryn, though.
Am I going to go there, or am I going to, you know, am I more comfortable being the person who's just telling you about this group of dwarves and describing them in a way that makes them seem Cajun, but they're not like, oh, you know, those kind of things.
They kind of were, though.
I think that added a lot to it, and so I'm totally selling that part, but it's that sort, and I think those are the dials, because those are, it's prescriptive, so that as I start to think about it, I'm like, you know what, I'm getting really into too many house rules now. I need to scale back. It provides perspective on, as I go through these, and I'm like, you know, I'm kind of maybe more player-focused, but maybe that's detracting from the world focus and controlling how the story is going, your session style. If I look at that, and maybe I'm saying, maybe I need to start including more role play. So if it has that kind of a value, once I've identified where I sort of sit in that, then I can use that metric to kind of guide where I'd want to go, along with just the feel for the table, but as personal ways to measure my DM-ness, I guess, is my idea.
I like it. I like that a lot, because it's, there's five of them, and those are quick sliders. And as you said, you're always sitting on that spectrum somewhere, and that's kind of always shifting slightly. What I would now ask, because we're saying DM style, but obviously we talk about all kinds of TTRPGs on the cast here. Does this, and obviously we're talking specifically about D&D right now because it's what we play the most of. Does this change with systems in a way? If I am now playing Call of Cthulhu, if I'm running a Marvel game, if I'm running the Avatar, the role-playing game, if whatever we might be doing, I'm going to run the Star Wars campaign at some point. I swear I will actually start this.
You're threatening.
Yeah, I will actually start at some point. Like, does that affect some of this style or signature, as it were?
I think it potentially can, because if you're running into like something that's like D&D, then there's a lot of expectations and a lot of people who have read a lot of rules. But if you broke out Star Wars, we don't really know jack about the mechanics of it at that point. That really would be the ball would be in your court, so to speak. But something, looking at what Chris talked about, like with rules, I mean, what kind of standard are you running at the table? Because, you know, are we really doing it, you know, by the letter of the law, or there's a wiggle room? Because, like, we all have been on the crazy end of rulings where you watch a player do something and you're like, what? And Matt talked about that the same can be applied to with NPCs, where he said he made plausible NPCs. I really like that. What should be occurring should be plausible. I don't care if you're rolling with dragons and flying ships. You've got this continuity that absolutely must be maintained at all costs if you want at least your fantasy meet to be somewhat believable.
If I could jump in on that, Tony, that's actually, because he said, you know, back in a Dragon Magazine article, somebody had said, like, they came to an epiphany that, like, oh, I'm doing the same thing as the players are, except my character is the world, right? Which, that's a big fucking character, okay? Like, we just throw that out.
Universe,
like,
yes,
I just run the world. Like, fuck you. Anyway, but that is where I think we have that interesting dovetail to what Chris was talking about with the eight player types, where the way, like, the player types for like a D&D game, actor, explorer, instigator, are like, when I'm playing quote-unquote the world, that's my player type in a way, right? I'm a little of these, except the Watcher. You can't be that one outside of that. You really, you know,
the creeper,
but right, but yeah, but there is a level of how does the world actually react to what is happening?
And I was thinking about that in the shower, and that was like, because that was the one you're always like, that kind of thing. And it was like, you know what? I am like probably like, probably a little under 5% the audience member is that sometimes I like to just sit and watch the role play happen at the table there.
And yeah,
just
that's
kind of
probably
sit back
the
and
least.
Like let
yeah.
it happen.
It's probably the
of
least
like absorb
of your
it there. It's a small amount because you have to be engaged, right? You can't be a passive member of it, but there is a portion of, I think, every DM that likes to sit there and be a bit of the audience member, especially when things start to get going there.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you jumped in on that as a player. You were about 5% because, yeah, you're always very involved. But
no,
that's
a
good point because, yeah, I said, like, you can't really be partly the Watcher. But, like, no, that's actually I've literally said the opposite, and it's true. It's that sense when you're running the game. This is a little – not quite off topic, but a little. But that idea of getting comfortable with silence at the table – right, getting comfortable with you throwing something out and waiting that beat or two beats for it to start, like, see what can come back instead of being like, oh God, I have to fill that void with something now. I got to keep this running. Dead air gets people fired, that kind of stuff. So, yeah, like that idea of being able to be the Watcher and being the audience member as the DM, yeah, part of it is that idea of, like what Mike Shea will talk about, rooting for the players, you know, being a fan of the players. Like, you're watching this TV show that they're in and you want to see, like, what the heroes do next kind of thing, right? Yeah, it's a good point.
So one of my DM style things there is I'm very big on treasure because, you know, they say you give gifts that you yourself like, but I like, you know, getting treasure, and I like my players to have that as well, you know. And this also breaks down to, like, you know, is, does your world have an economy? Does that matter? I mean, I know you guys love some good old painstaking accounting, you know, counting the, converting your electrium and your silver. That is some fantastic magic.
A shopping slider. Just shopping versus not.
No, that's but that's why we created our that's why we created our like kind of cost of living number for our Boomtown setting, right? So we still have the accounting, but you don't have to be like running a ledger.
So as a DM, like, you know, do you allow spotlights? Do you allow a character to go off on a tangent and have a moment like that? Some do, some don't. I don't think any a good player necessarily would need to understand. They would definitely understand that they can't be involved in every scene. But there is kind of like a little bit of an like a onus there where this scene at least has the potential to go somewhere relevant, like where like some interesting bit of lore or a hint or something is dropped rather than somebody just bought five potatoes and a carrot.
And I think to both to kind of dovetailing into both your points, it's like the measure of style to know this is how I'm going to handle when I throw something out there and maybe it doesn't go exactly as I thought it was going to go, or things kind of end up going sideways in the combat, or I don't know what's happening. Like when we almost TPK'd the other night, Matt had to do a, in his own style, had to find a way to try to extricate everybody before the whole night was dashed upon the rocks. Right. And I think that's a large part of it, too, is identifying how it is that you do it so that you know ways to be able to that. Tony, like you said, like you like to do reward, you like to do that. But it's also it doesn't it detract from it. It's just the signature of how you like to run your games, how you like to do that, because you scale things to it and stuff like that. And I think that's the most important part, is that you have an awareness to it, the self-evaluation, and then you use that as a knob to help to use it judiciously, but also know that I have a tendency to do that, so you know when you have to turn the knob the other way. For example, with the lure, and I had to dial this back because this is it's just I'm just fire hosing in their faces. It's like they're not getting it.
I would say in regards to that too, the idea of like spotlight on characters and things. I would say like I'm thinking about it. I mean I've thought about it a lot, but thinking about it tonight. Part of my, what I would say my signature and something that is now growing. And like, so I think you're like where Matt is right now, Monster Wrangler Matt, where he's running Tyranny. We have two, we keep saying Matt when we're talking about Colville, like we're on first name basis. So this is our Matt from last episode, guys, that I'm talking about. But as he's running Tyranny, like he doesn't have a style yet, right? Because he literally has just started. It's like when you start playing in a band, you don't have a style yet. I mean, the band probably doesn't even have a genre yet, much less a style of the individual musician.
You have all the things.
Yeah, you have all the things that are beginning this, right?
That's an actor. I'm gonna call it.
but that's what I'm saying.
Like, you know, I wanted to sound like Eddie Van Halen and stuff like that. I might not sound like Eddie Van Halen, but it's the right. It's that's the thing, and then I evolve into my style. I start off with he's seen all of us DM, and so he uses that as inspiration. And then as that starts to come to the table and stuff, then he starts to develop a style uniquely his own.
Exactly, and that's what I'm getting at. So, like, you know that there are certain things you like out of the game. Especially if you're playing it before you're running the game. There's certain things that you enjoy in it. And as I've often said, and we've talked about on the cast, like run the game that you would want to play in, because it's going to be really good, because that's you leaning into your strengths. And I would say one of the things that I really am starting, like one of the metrics, if you want to call it that, of my signature is really focusing in on what's happening with the players, both as a group, but then also individually. I mean, that's where a lot of the narrative side quest stuff came about. But even in game, and I'll go back to Tyranny as a player for me with my warlock, Samhain, right? There was a short time in there where we were still in the town of Greenest. And I said I wanted to, before we headed out to move the football results oriented to get to, in essence, like the lair of the cult of the dragon, you know, whoever these people are. Which I will say, BT Dubs, like it's weird in Tyranny. Like people have said, I've seen online now that we're playing it, that, like, you just literally named them the cult. Like, there's no, like, it's not like the Church of the Dragon or like the Dragon Society. No, it's just the cult of, right?
They, call, they like, called them themselves the cults. Yeah.
Yeah, they're the bad guys.
That. We called them a cult.
But anyway, but my character, Samhain, is a warlock and he's very much involved in wanting to find power, right? Find these forgotten black tomes. Yeah, right. I'm doing like I'm like Cassidus.
Pulling a main,
Cassidus. Yeah, yeah, I'm like Cassidus, right? Where I'm just going down these rabbit holes, see what happens, right? But the point being, so I was in town and I wanted to go like quote unquote shopping, but I wanted to go and find some things. I wanted to see if there were some maybe some items or some lore, some books, things like stuff that my character is searching for. And Matt, much to I thought it's very similar to the way I would run it. He took 5-10 minutes maybe out of a 4-hour session and just turned it to allow my character to develop something. Not just I'm finding, like you said, 5 potatoes, but like something that says this is what this character is doing that the other players and characters are now seeing. And that's helping to develop that cohesion of the group of the I think in like Dragonlance, for instance, one of the biggest things that helped was that each of you through your own journeys had a much more focused goal and it mattered more when you had to like go and do the thing in the actual sessions, right? Because each of you were still finding what made your characters too. So anyway, that was a little bit of a tangent, but just something like I definitely, you start to focus in more on the things that you really like I was saying, leaning into your strengths in this DM quote-unquote style. Sorry, that was a bit rambling, but I think I was getting to the point there.
I mean, as a DM, I have to ask, were you not entertained? Because, you know, like, that's going to be something good, right? That's for your players, that's for you included there. And honestly, I'm going to say something controversial. I feel the quality of your gameplay is much more important than the adherence to the rules. I allow some rule bending, especially at the girls' game. They get away with all kinds of crap. They're not tracking their spells as tightly as they should. And you know what? They're new players, and it's absolutely fine. I mean, if you didn't paint yourself in a corner and let one of them have Thor's hammer, and now the game's completely busted, and you have to now try to retcon things, pulling down your own, you know, continuity of your game, then it's good. You know, it is indeed, after all, just a game.
Tony, real hot take, having to do exactly. It's almost like, because what you just said, right? Like when people are first playing, you can just like play really fast and loose, right? And it's like the rule sets really exist more for when we've now played the game, because now I start to understand how the game is working. Now I need rules to corral me in so I don't break it. But in the beginning, I don't know anything that's happening. So it's all cool, right?
Yeah. No, I'm a bit more democratic than that. I would hope that they don't ask for things. I start to look a little askance when they start to ask for things that are a little bit obviously outside of the rules. But it's
no, you just give them the sword DM instead. You just give them the life drinking sword or whatever. And
that was a lot of fun.
I don't think Matt asked for that.
Adds something to it. It creates drama. It creates action. It creates energy. But like I think like we're getting back to like it's like if I'm at my job as a manager, I'm supposed to boost profitability and happiness and stuff of my employees. And I think the same thing is with the DM is that it's to your point. I'm going to lean into what I do best when I'm doing my managing at work. I'm going to make jokes on the calls and try to make the team a better thing there. And like imply, I like I'm a bit of a neat freak, but I'm lazy, but I'm going to try to imply the organization that I like to see. Like if things look like out of whack, right? Like, so that kind of things. And then if I lean into those things, the other things I have to work on, but that helps me to be the best version of myself as I'm learning to become better as a manager or something. And I think the same thing relies as a DM. If you're good at doing voices, you can't just be good at doing voices, but maybe you can. But even if you're good at just doing voices, like lean into that. And then you'll start to build the other things, but I think any of these, it's, you know, it'd be comfortable with it. If you want to go raw with stuff, go raw with stuff. Like, I think we all, as you go, you find out that there's house rules and certain things that just don't work or don't feel comfortable at the table, but it's always, like, there's sliders, and like we're saying, like, your style isn't a style, it's more your, it's your current evaluation of where you're at every time you, it's like the, you know, Schrodinger's box. Every time I open it, I'm a slightly different DM than I was, but I'm always going to be, I always want a lot of lore in my games. And I want, like, this other thing, right? Like, there's certain things that you'll find in any of the campaigns that I run, but they're going to be different. And I'm going to be a different person that stepped in the river then. But I, there are things that I value in the D&D game, for, you know, for example, that I'll keep there, but it'll always be changing and evolving.
Excellent points. All right. I think it's about that time now for some final thoughts, though. So DM styles, do we have a DM style? Is there a DM style? Is it just Schrodinger's box of DM styles? Who knows, right? What do we think? Final thoughts.
Mine is still evolving. And I'm always looking for ways to make the game enjoyable for both myself and the players. As a wise DM once said, you teach your players how your world works. So, like, if you're a character player, like your warlock in Matt's game, if he finds a dark book and you suffer irreparable sanity damage from reading it, well, guess what? That's the last freaking time you're going to do that crap.
No, I'm doing it kind of for that reason, I think.
And that could be interesting, but, like, that's what was a real hang up for me for Call of Cthulhu. Oh, you see that painting there? No, I'm not going to look at it. I'm going to go stare in the toilet, because that's at least safe. Maybe it's not. But, yeah, are you a DM that expects your players to search every nook and cranny? Or are your players now becoming lunatics because they're tossing every room, shredding the pillows, looking under the mattresses, looking behind the paintings? Are you going to reward that kind of play, or are they just being a little neurotic? Do you encourage, do you let people run with crazy haggling? You let someone get some kind of crazy deal. Now you're going to deal with that all the time. Like, these are the questions where you want everybody to have fun, but you sure as hell don't want to paint yourself in a corner for next session.
We're going to add one to the DM list, the used car salesman. Yeah.
No, but I think a lot of times the way we are as players too, sometimes it sometimes influences the way we are as DMs, is that we end up valuing those kind of things in our games. But with any of this stuff, it's the like we're saying, label with purpose. Like, it's the whole reason you're going to evaluate, is there a style? Sure, but it's not something you could look at like in a picture. It's this amorphous thing. It's something that's constantly evolving and changing. It's your experience at the table as you grow through, you know, repetition and times, different campaigns, different tables, different people. And so I think it's a good way to, you know, I wouldn't necessarily constrain yourself to a style or think of it that way. But if you want to measure yourself with something like this, I think it's a good exercise to get better at it and to learn how that, to deal with things better. Maybe there's things that you could do better. There's always things we could do better, right? And those kind of things, it helps to identify opportunities where maybe I could do a little bit more of this, and it might make things better, you know, with, you know, it's not, maybe it's not what I would do right offhand, but this is how we grow, right? If it feels a little uncomfortable, maybe it's good. That's usually growth.
Yeah, Chris, I would say not kind of influence, your playing style kind of influences your DM style. I think it informs it completely, you know? And that's why I thought it was such a great point that you made, that the 8 player types are kind of, when we turn it around and we're playing the world, the 8 player types are the 8 DM types too. And it's always a mixture of these things, just like the personality tests do. But then, you know, you also have your list of the, you know, the autocrat and the laissez-faire and the inspirational management styles too. And our third option, which was where Chris had the 5 metrics of, you know, is it more combat or RP? Are you more raw? Are you more rule of cool? Are you more world or player focused? Are you more improv or hard prep? Are you more narration, or you're involved in the dialogue, right? Those are some metrics you can play with too. But I would say, first, thank you again, Matt Colville, DM Matt, for giving us this brain fodder. So we're continuing this conversation, and we're kicking it out to all of you to see, is there a master list that we can come up with? But for me, in the end, I think it's less about like a DM style, and it's more about like what I was saying with like musicians. It's your signature, or any artist, right? Because DMing is an art. Running games is an art. It's why we talk about we're working on our craft, right? Just like writing, just like anything else. Writers, authors, same thing. There's a signature. You know when Stephen King is writing something. You know when Brandon Sanderson is writing something, right? You definitely knew when Anne Rice was writing something because she described a barn door for about 3 pages. But, it's your signature. You might do like an artist, like somebody illustrating might make something that looks kind of Disney-like, like that kind of animation, or they might make something very pencil portrait or anime or something. But there's probably a literally a signature, right, on the bottom of it. But there's a signature to their quote-unquote style. So I think, if anything, think of it more as your evolving signature, the things that are always going to kind of show up in whatever you're running that you just like to have in your games. Lean into those strengths and then play with these other metrics to work on your weaknesses so that we can just keep running better games, because we are DMs with problems and we love to help DMs with problems, hence this type of episode. So if you are a DM and you are having a problem or a question or an issue or anything at your game, you would like us to talk about it on the cast, send it in to us. You can get us at 3wisedms.com and put it in the What's Your Problem field. You can reach out to us by email at 3wisedms@gmail.com. You can obviously get us on our socials on Facebook and Instagram at 3wisedms. We're very active on those sites. It doesn't really have to do with your style, but I mean, I think there's always a level of like the kind of dice you like to roll, metal dice, silicon dice, dice with weird things inside of them, resin core dice, jelly dice. Like there's all kinds of crazy fucking dice anymore. So go and check out and find your signature dice at our affiliate link at fanrolldice.com/REF/2871. You put in the code 3WISEDMS10, that's the number 3WISEDMS, the number 10, and you'll get 10% off your signature order of your signature jelly-filled dice. I don't know if they have that. I'm sorry, Neil. Or you're welcome. Maybe make jelly-filled dice. Anyway. Yeah.
3WISE jelly filled dice.
That's it. Yes. Yeah. Yes. We would love, yeah, we would totally brand that if you would like jelly
filled dice. Edibles is dice.
Oh, yeah. Micro dose dice. So that's going to be it for us this episode. And as we do each episode, we are going to let our dear old erstwhile leader take us out.
And thanks for all of you for listening to us again. We all appreciate you taking the time and listening to what we have to say. And we hope it's helpful for your game. It'll get more helpful for your game if you can let us know what you want to hear about. So we would love to get your feedback. 3wisedms.com has a feedback form you can drop questions into or let us know what you want to hear us talk about and give us feedback. We also have our email address is 3wisedms@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you there. We're on Facebook. We're on Instagram. All is 3wisedms. So anywhere you want to talk to us and let us know what you think and what kind of thing you could use help on or what kind of thing we could cover to help your game, we'd love to hear it. So we hope to see you next time on 3wisedms.